Clinton.
And today, Mick takes you to a genuine seance with America's first Fruit Loop, Hillary Clinton. We'll find out why Demi Moore's had a number one. We've got a deadly peanut butter update. Is that little animated peanut butter Elvis to blame? We'll find out. And on Radio Gladiators, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, but what about Michael Jackson? Once again, we'll give someone a chance to beat the Beasley. We'll have celebrity medical emergencies. And joining us live today, the inventor of the Marshall Amp. Can a knighthood be far away for Jim Marshall? It's all coming up on the program, whose hosts are described by Kim Beasley as deceitful, dishonest buffoons, Martin Malloy. Certain that the only thing that looks good on him is you here at Martin Malloy, right around Australia for, I think it's a Tuesday, Mickey.
That'll do.
And before I welcome you, just got to point out who's here, because I have to say once again, we're back from holidays.
You'll be up, Tone.
In case you're not familiar with the participants, it's myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who yesterday popped over to Cape Town, St. George Cathedral, and outraged all attending Bishop Desmond Tutu's emotional send-off when he stood up and shouted, "Hey, Des, when do the strippers get out?" Mick Malloy.
Yeah, well, you know, you're allowed to have fun, Tone. That's what I keep saying.
It was uncalled for, sure.
It was a bit of harmless fun. If he can't take a joke, he should hang up the frock and leave.
And I love your touch of organising that last-minute booth of lazy-gram. That was sensational. But what's going on overseas, apart from Des's big send-off?
All right, Tone, I thought we might take a wacky look at American politics, which is getting stranger by the minute. Have you heard about this? American First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton had imaginary talks with Eleanor Roosevelt during multiple sessions with a spiritual advisor that some people are describing as a series of seances. According to a new book by journalist Bob Woodward, Mrs. Clinton also had a bit of a yak with Mahatma Gandhi, but declined to address Jesus Christ. Well, can't blame her for that, I suppose, Tone. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Jesus Christ. He's a pretty good bloke. But whenever you're talking to him, I find he's got that holier-than-thou attitude. And it's all about him. I did this, I did that. Did I tell you about the time they nailed me to a cross? He just goes on and on. Don't get him started on the old man either. He's always doing that my dad's better than your dad stuff. He asks you what your dad does, and then he goes, "Well, my dad created the entire world, did it in 7 days. My dad says your dad's going to hell." All right, all right. Just shut up for a minute, will you, Jesus?
You can tell he was an only child.
So that's why Hillary declined.
There you go. Okay. But anyway, that's how Hillary has been spending her spare time, yakking to famous dead people.
Yep.
And she's doing it non-stop. Anyone who's introduced to Hillary Clinton these days also gets to meet all her imaginary friends.
Really?
"Hi, Hillary, how are you?" "Good, good. Oh, here, have you met my friends? This is Eleanor Roosevelt. This is Mahatma Gandhi. Oh, and this is Ricky May. Would you care to join us for some dinner?"
Ricky May?
Ricky May, oh yeah, he's popped by for a bit of a yak. "I went to a dinner party held by Hillary, and all I can say is, thank God I read the place names." Nearly sat in Napoleon's lap.
Oh, be careful.
Apparently I went home with Natalie Wood.
Did you?
Yeah, it's an interesting sideline, isn't it?
Top night.
Top night. That would constitute a top night. Tone, is this a healthy thing for the First Lady to get involved with? I mean, they all have a go. Remember Nancy Reagan? She wouldn't sponge bath the president unless the astrology charts gave her the green light. What's next? Voodoo? We're going to see Hillary at a state reception drinking the blood of a live chicken? I saw her playing with a voodoo doll of Boris Yeltsin.
Did you?
Hang on. Or was that a Mr. Potato Head? Oh, it's hard to say. Whatever the case, the First Lady has had a pretty hard run lately because she's still getting Larry Dooley from the Republicans and the press over those missing Whitewater documents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she fronted an inquiry the other day, Tone, where she said she will present those missing documents just as soon as she gets them back from Irving Berlin.
The Martin Malloy Galaxy of Stars. And Mickey. It's in all the papers today. Demi Moore's new look. Mm. Demi Moore's long-awaited striptease was unveiled last night in New York. The movie has attracted a fair bit of interest because not only does Demi appear topless, but so does Burt Reynolds, showing up in several scenes sans hairpiece. Now, I'm not sure if that's because the script demanded it or because William Shatner was using it that day. Because I've said it before, they've got one piece between them. Burt gets it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Shatner Tuesday, Thursday and weekends.
It's timeshare.
That's right. You'll never see him. You'll never see him photographed together, people. Believe me. Check it out. But, of course, at the striptease premiere, all eyes were on Demi's noggin because she's gone the shaved scone for her new flick, G.I. Jane. Now, when I saw the footage, I was confused for a moment. I was thinking, why has Bruce Willis got his arm around Bob Franklin from the Jamoan show? But G.I. Jane, is that a real film, do you think? Or has he just had the do to make Bruce feel better about his own fonts? Because standing next to the new look, dear me, he's looking like the white Don King from where I'm sitting. And I see he's gone the dye your hair white trick, the Bobcat Goldthwait technique. Celebrity bald blokes, they'll try anything, won't they? But, of course, it happens to all of us eventually, you know, Mickey. I've passed 30, so I'm on the downhill slide myself to, well, the Phil Smythe country. And I've decided I'm going to take steps.
Right.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go the outrageous hat option.
Oh, really?
That's right. You know, I'm going to become one of these people who's always seen in public wearing some kind of trademark silly hat, like Molly Meldrum or the Pope. But only certain professions can get away with it, I've noticed. You know, leader of the Catholic Church, chartered accountant, nah.
No.
You know, you wouldn't want your tax done by someone wearing a helmet fashioned from beaks he'd been presented with by the Oro tribe of Papua New Guinea. You just wouldn't.
Not a good look.
But rock guru, that's fine. Now, Molly, he's got the cowdy hat.
Mm.
But I prefer the Glen A. Baker look myself. That sort of Pakistani, I've got an upturned pencil case on my head look. So, Bugger Advanced Hair Studios, my five-year plan is to slowly position myself as Australia's newest rock guru and start showing up in public and say, I don't know, a turban. What do you reckon? If I slipped it in subtly.
I'd wear it backwards. Turban on backwards.
And just over the months and years, people would get used to seeing me in the turban and they wouldn't sort of bat an eyelid. Maybe a Wimple. What do you think about? Or a Busby.
A Busby?
You reckon I'd get away with a Busby?
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Perhaps a Tam O'Shanter. Do you think I could pull that off? If I start now, instead of being known as that skinny bloke in the glasses, I could be known as that bloke in the Tam O'Shanter. I could even change my name to Tony O'Shanter. The only problem is, what exactly is a Tam O'Shanter?
Mate, I've got about five things buzzing around in my head right now.
Well, I think it's Scottish. I think it's made from shortbread. Mm. I don't know much more. But nah, too complicated. Maybe I'll just get the girlfriend to go the Demi buzz cut every time we go to the pictures. Much simpler. Of course, there's always the new Johnny Rotten look. Mm. Have you checked that out yet, Mickey? Yeah,
I didn't know it was him.
No. Somewhere between 1978 and 1996, the Pistols seem to have turned into Devo. He's wearing a green vinyl suit and the hair, well, it suggests that, well, he's come straight to the gig from his own Bucks party.
Radio Gladiators.
At Martin Malloy. At last, you can take your old glasses and throw them away.
Aye?
That's right. Thanks to Martin Malloy, you can take those glasses and throw them away.
Yeah?
Yep. Simply throw them away.
Okay.
And don't just throw them away. Grind them into the floor.
All right. Now what?
You've thrown them away?
Yep.
You've ground them into the floor?
Yep.
Well, now you can thank the good folk at Martin Malloy.
I see.
What about those old records and cassettes?
What about them?
Now, thanks to Martin Malloy, you can just throw them away.
Why?
Go on, throw them away.
What, just dump them in the rubbish?
That's right. And while you're there, take that rubbish and throw it away.
It's already thrown away.
Thanks to Martin Malloy.
Wow.
And what about that old couch?
Throw it away?
Throw it away. And is that a brand new stereo television and home entertainment unit?
I don't know. I haven't got my glasses.
Then simply throw it away.
Okay.
What about that old relative staying in the back room?
Uncle Gordon.
Now you can throw him away.
What?
All thanks to your good friends at Martin Malloy.
Right. So, what now?
Sorry?
Well, I've thrown everything away.
Well done. And remember, it's all thanks...
Yes, I know, but what am I supposed to do now?
Had it written down here somewhere, but seemed to have...
Thrown it away?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck...
Just calm down. Have a seat on the couch.
Oh,
sorry, forgot. Oh, here it is. Now you can throw away those old glasses, records, cassettes, couch, TV, stereo, and Uncle Gordon and replace them with the new Martin Malloy Glasso Recordo Coucho TVO Gordomatic 5000, the 12-in-1 stereo TV eyeglasses couch and irritating relative combination. Here, take it for a test, watch, sit, look, listen, play, and agitate.
Listen, young man, if your mother was alive today, she'd be...
Fantastic. I've never seen so clearly, sat so comfortably, enjoyed so much home entertainment choice, and been shat so thoroughly before. Thanks, Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy, the future is here. Shall I send it in?
The new SAFM.
Thank you, Alanis Morissette. Just wait outside and we'll call you back when the test results are here. And that was You Learn, of course, off Jagged Little Pull.
Jagged Little Pull.
And what are we talking about now? Well, what's coming up on the show? Jim Marshall is going to be joining us.
Jimbo!
You don't know who Jimbo is, people?
He's got a lot to answer for, that man.
You've seen his surname every time you've been to a rock gig because his is the name on the amps, the Marshall amps. He thought them up. He invented them in the backyard. Down in the shed.
Tinkering.
30-odd years ago, and he's on tour talking amps, talking loud noises, and he'll be with us in the next hour. Also, Radio Gladiator's coming up, and Beat the Beasley, which we kicked off yesterday. How did it go, Mickey?
It was kind of debacular.
Yeah.
But it had appeal.
Really?
That's the word on the street.
Is that
I'm
right?
Getting a kind of, yeah, yeah, a couple of days.
Did an attractive, yeah. Okay. That's sort of...
I enjoyed it.
It's that yeah you get when you ask people if they've seen The Cable Guy and if they liked it.
Yeah, it's kind of okay.
Yep.
But,
I've been caught up in a twister.
What did we do yesterday? We dropped a giant effigy or replica of Kim Beazley, made entirely from infected peanut butter, onto Captain Cook's chest. Yep. And our contestant did his best to stop this from happening, but was unsuccessful. And we've fashioned a brand new Beasley today. We'll be dropping it onto something even more dangerous and tiny.
We'll have the hard hats on today, Tony.
We will. That's in the next hour. And your chance to win a $1,500 watch in the bargain. But maybe we'll drop the Beasley onto the watch. Is that incentive?
Let's do it.
All right. But speaking of peanut butter, infected peanut butter, it's a serious old business. And just a reminder, I hope you're checking which brand of peanut butter you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Because the salmonella scare ain't over yet, and I must say, we got home from work last night, straight to the pantry, and checked the brand. Yes, not on the list.
Hurrah!
We were just eating peanut butter all night. We were having it on everything. It was just a peanut butter frenzy. But they have, however, located the cause of the outbreak. I've opened up the paper this morning and just seen the massive headline, rat feces. Now, there's two words you don't want to see over breakfast.
Mm.
You know, it's caught me off guard. I'm going, rat feces? Isn't that a segment on Hey Hey? I think so. But tracking down the source of the scare took the health department several months. It was extremely difficult to pinpoint it because, like peanut butter, rat feces also comes in smooth and crunchy. I'm sorry. Silverchair made me do it, Your Honour. But the one good thing about this whole business is that it now gives you a legitimate reason to use the phrase, Mum, this peanut butter is rat shit.
This is Martin Malloy.
We know you're going to enjoy the show. At least we hope so, because it swings all the way.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody. It's been a decade of dominance.
Yes, this is Martin Malloy right around the nation, courtesy of the big floating satellite, wherever it is at this point in time.
Someone's bashing it as we speak.
I hope you can still hear us in various parts of the country, people. Mm. And if so, it's time for a bit of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to...
Now, Mickey, every day over the last week, I've been running into somebody who's been talking to me about this book and the bloke who wrote it. It's called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Mm. Now, I don't know much about it, but I know it's hugely popular.
Can I, in a nutshell for you, break it down? There's a lot of differences between men and women, Tony. He's saying his theory is we come from different planets. That's how different we are.
Oh, right. So
I don't know where he comes from.
Well, I think it's America.
Okay.
But anyway, he's doing seminars. He's packing them in. Mm. People love his gear. They're calling out for more of Mr. John Gray's observations on the, the difference between the sexes. And, of course, he's a relationship guru. So he's been there. He knows how it works.
Which means he's making a lot of money out of this.
That's how it works. Well, let's jump on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. I thought, I don't know what he's actually on about, because I haven't been along to one of the seminars or read the book, but I'm imagining it's about those little things that make men and women different, and that's what we're talking about today. Little, tiny, not the obvious ones.
No.
There's a fair few obvious ones. Mm-hmm. We don't want blue stuff. We're just looking for subtle differences between your man and your woman. Mm. And here's one that everyone talks about. You'll see this on your Seinfeld. Mm. Blokes have to have the remote. Got to have the remote. Women don't seem to care so much about the remote because they just want to watch a program. It's blokes all over the show.
It's the power.
Yeah.
I call it the power. Your mates call it, give me the power.
The power.
Give me the power.
I see.
And that's it. They're plugged in.
Well, there's one there. That's the kind of thing we're looking for.
I got one. Men don't seem to place that much importance on shopping for shoes.
No, really.
You know, you got about three basic gear. It's a desert boot, a runner, and something else. Women, though, they go nuts. It was Imelda Marcos, not Ferdinand, who was caught with a factory full of shoes.
And not surprisingly,
here's... Have you seen a women's shoe shop?
You
get a shoe with a wing keel.
I don't think I've ever been to any kind of shoe shop.
There, my point, exactly.
I'm not sure where my shoes come from. They're just there. But anyway, here's one. I was at a barbecue with a girlfriend recently, and her and some other girlfriends have got together in the corner, and they must have spoke for about an hour and a half on the subject of lipsticks, and they had some kind of new catalogue, and it's a whole different world. It's a world we know nothing of.
Mm.
And they were all having a good fat stare at me. They're going, sorry, this is something you can never really appreciate. Sorry to exclude you,
oh, really?
But this is something you're never going to understand. And all I could come back with is, yeah, that's true. But for you, there are so fewer opportunities in life to get away with wearing tracksuit pants. And that's never going to change.
Well, that's exactly right, which leads me to one, Tone. Women don't spend an entire afternoon down the TAB in the tracky dacks. I have never seen it once. Yeah. You walk in there and, you know, there'll be 30 blokes not moving, cursing. Well, in the tracky dacks, just standing around all afternoon, I'm yet to see a woman.
Chick-free zone.
Chick-free zone.
Okay, we're looking for little differences. Here's one about, because this bloke's on about relationship problems, here's one. When there are relationship problems, women will, of course, talk to each other, whereas men will talk to themselves in the backyard while taking to defenceless objects with tools. That's
a subtle one. I like that. Women never invite you to pull their finger.
No.
I have never once, Tone. Never once. Would that be a distinction?
I think Anna Nicole Smith tried it out once when she was in on the program.
Here's one. Men don't wet their pants when Mr. Darcy has a bit of a sulk. And that's a big one.
You know what?
Have you been privy to that? Have you sat down and watched an episode of that in the company of women?
I don't even know who Mr. Darcy is. I hear his name bandied about the office, but I've got no idea.
He's this big, brooding, sulking ass who just sits there grumbling away. I'm thinking, I do that every day. Every day of my life, that's what I do. Where's my affection? Where's my weak at the knees scenario?
Well, apparently you're not wearing the right kind of pants. You got to have them old sort of doe skin
pantaloons.
That's right. Get yourself some of them pantaloons and watch them queuing up, Mickey. Mm. But that's what we want. We want you to call us up with little differences between men and women, which is obviously what this bloke's on about in his book. And do we have a prize? Do we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a three-pack of CDs. That's right.
It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. You're going to get into that.
Oh, because it's got Alanis Morissette, it's got The Cause, and it's got the latest from Hootie, and, of course, his Blowfish. But that's not all, because you're going into the draw for this Friday when Pete Smith reaches into the barrel and sends somebody and a mate off to Bali for 5 nights, staying at the, well, it's the hotel.
The Intan Leggy.
The Intan Leggy, and backwards, it's the Nigel Natney. Think of it that way. You'll be flying Qantas, and it's all thanks to our friends at Creative Holidays. We're looking for subtle differences between your blokes and your chicks. Call us now with them, 1-800-657-657.
Me, Scott.
Surprised if it gets a mention during this segment here on Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. And today, because everyone's talking men are from Mars, women are from Venus, this self-help book that's going around, we're talking about the same subject ourselves. We're saying, what are some of the subtler differences that separate your men and women? Who have we got on the line? Introduce the psychologists.
Why don't we check in with Sue? How are you, Sue?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Oh, not too bad at all. Could you help us out? Have you got anything springing to mind? There's a difference between men and women.
Yeah, there's a big difference in my household. Mm. It's got to be the way men and women do the washing. Yeah, we have 12 children between us.
Mm-hmm.
12 children between us.
Right.
And I cannot get my husband to turn the socks in the right way or wash the whites with the whites or the blacks with the blacks, and he can't even hang them on the line properly.
So he's not into the washing machine apartheid.
Oh, he thinks he is, but he's just doing it all wrong.
And you're talking 12 kids, how many loads are we talking there, Sue?
Yeah, a few loads.
Right.
Would your husband know how many loads?
He does a few, and on the occasions he does, you know, I'm not real impressed.
He's probably just running around telling the kids to turn their underpants inside out to get another couple of days out of them.
The way I work is I go by amounts. I don't go by colours. Mm. If I see like a huge pile of clothes, my first thought is, can it all be done in one load? Mm. How much can I get in?
I think that's about my husband's story.
Fat bloke living next door to me, I always get him over to sit on top of the lid and get it. And if he can get it shut, that's one load ready to go. All right, thanks, Sue. And now we'll talk to Jim. Jim, what's your subtle difference?
Hello, fellas.
Hi.
Howdy. Yes.
What you got for us, Jim?
Being a domesticated fellow, I go to the supermarket every Saturday morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, my wife does one supermarket, I do the other. I get the fruit and veggie, what have you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep.
I get to the cash out, to the cash register there.
Yes.
I got the cash in hand, ready to go.
Okay. Yep.
I just get the amount, pay the money, I'm off, off the tab, somewhere important.
As simple as that, ready to business, not pleasure.
And the women, they line up, they usually wait till the amount flashes up. Then they go scratch around for the bag, usually at the bottom of the trolley.
Yeah.
And then they, to make it even worse, they insist on paying the right amount. You know, it's X number of cents, they go scratching around in the bottom of the small bag for the coins.
Oh, damn.
Now, when this, while this is happening, I'm often miss the first, second race at Melbourne.
Now the races where I bet you've always got your cash ready.
Have a fistful of notes, get the chains and out of there, sir.
Okay. So whether you're talking to a bookie or a checkout chick, you've just got a fistful of cash and you're ready to go.
It's action. Action time, son.
All right. Okay, well, there's an example of your differences. According to Jim. Thanks, Jim. And now we've got Lee. Are you there, Lee?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Not bad. Tell us about your subtle difference between behaviour of men and women.
Well, I don't know about you, but when I, bash my finger with a hammer, I'm likely to come up with every four-letter word known to man.
Sure, definitely. Right?
Now, ladies, they can just lie there, 48 hours of labour, not a problem. They can scream their heads off, but they won't come up with any four-letter words, will they?
So it's a pain threshold difference kind of a deal. I know, I'm the same. If I, if I cut my tongue on an envelope, when I'm licking it, I'm calling in for 5 days off the show. Mickey's going solo.
They're the worst kind.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then you go eating an orange afterwards.
Exactly. Have you ever been present at a birth?
Well, no, I haven't, but I've noticed a lot of documentaries and, they must edit the swear words or something.
I think there might be a bit of swearing. I've heard some stories. I've heard some lines apparently like, get it out of me! Get it out of me!
A lot of four-letter words in there, but none of them are swear words.
Well, that's the cleanest version we can put to air. But thanks for that, Lee. That's not a bad one. Your pain threshold difference. All right. Nigel, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nigel, what have you got for us?
Well, a certain noticeable difference is that men will always walk around the house nude, either after a shower or after sex, but women will always put something on, either about five towels or...
So men are more likely to walk around the house Frankie J, in your opinion.
Absolute starkers,
Exactly. Men host television programs in the nude. Sorry about the old home front. Yeah. You've heard of this. That's not just something particular to your household, Nige?
No. I've heard of it from many households.
Mm. Yeah,
and I have noticed it, actually.
Must be some kind of ritualistic thing. It must have an historical context. Yeah. Must be something to do with hunter-gathering.
I'm not sure. Well, that's one for Mr. John Gray, I'm sure.
There we go.
Do you think he's broaching that subject?
You know what he's doing? He's at home listening in, writing all this down. He's got the next book ready to go.
Volume 2. Okay, not a bad one from Nige, but Gail, are you with us?
Certainly am. How are you?
Not bad. You've got something to get off your chest. What is it?
Well, getting it off something is exactly what I'm going to be talking to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Men, unlike women, seem not to require a handkerchief or a tissue to clear their nostrils.
You'd be right.
I'd be right, absolutely.
And, of course, men are more likely to blow their nose in the shower. You know,
And they don't actually have to clean it every Saturday morning like I do.
Oh, dear. And do you separate them? How you go with the loads there, Gail? Okay. All right. Well, yes, no need.
I agree with that. That's not bad.
I noticed that Mickey does not have a little handkerchief sticking out of the top pocket of his tracksuit.
Usually it just requires one finger over the dormant nostril.
Oh, well,
that's as much as is required.
There you go, kiddies. Write that one down, kiddies. We're getting you started on the right foot here at Martin Malloy. But finally, we just have time for... Is it Tristan?
It's Tristan. How are you, Tristan?
Good.
What you got for us, mate? What's the difference between men and women?
Women would only read men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and men wouldn't.
Is that our winner?
I think it could be. Are you happy with that?
All right, yes, indeed.
Women have read the book from cover to cover, men possibly haven't, and that's certainly true in my experience.
And true for me too.
All right, well, guess what? You've got the 3-pack of CDs.
Oh, thanks.
And it's a mixture of chick and bloke music, you'll be pleased to hear.
Yes.
And you've gone into the drawer for that fantastic trip to Bali, courtesy of our friends at Creative Holidays. Be listening this Friday when Pete Smith goes to the dip.
Mm.
Okay, Tristan,
thanks
for playing. It's going to turn out all right in your favour, I'm sure. It's a 1 in 5 chance, buddy. You could be. Have you been to Bali?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. You'll be staying at the Nigel Natney. It's going to be great if you come out of the barrel. Thanks for playing. And in the next hour, we'll be talking to somebody who whose work, I think, is appreciated by people of all sexes,
and
that is the inventor of the Marshall Amp 1, Jim Marshall.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
CFM.
And in this hour, celebrity medical emergencies, another round of Beat the Beasley, and next up, the man whose invention keeps thousands of roadies in business, Jim Marshall, on Martin Malloy.
Finally, a radio station that picks me.
Right here at Martin Malloy, just what we were talking about during Radio Gladiators.
Not the way men feel, that's the way a woman feels.
Absolutely, because, of course, they're from Venus.
Mm.
And listen to this, our guest today, he's ready to go, he's in position, and the roadies have brought him in. He's a bona fide legend in your rock business. He's the inventor and chairman of Marshall Amplifiers, and at age 73, he still spends every day on the job shooting about the globe, talking amps, and raising money for good causes. Please crank your applause right up to 11 as we welcome Jim Marshall. Jim, thanks for coming in today.
Very nice to be here.
Now, Jim, just have a look around the room. Just have a look around the studio. There's all kinds of equipment here. Anything with your name on it? Can you see me? Nothing at all?
No, I'm very worried about that.
You're unimpressed? You're about to storm out of the studio?
Not really, because I hardly ever see Marshall in this type of studio.
Jim, could you just give us a mic test? Just do a 1-2 for us.
1-2. 1-2.
There you go. That was probably... Did you invent that? Did you invent the 1-2 mic test? Was that one of yours?
What came first? Was the amp invented so someone could go 1-2, 1-2?
You're probably right.
Tell us how you got started, Jim. Were you mucking around in the garage? Were you knocking a few things together?
Let's see now. In 1961, there was nothing made for bass guitar. Being an engineer, I decided to have a go at making speaker cabinets for bass guitar and was very successful. So later on in 1961, we decided to have a go at making an amplifier with the help of the ears of Pete Townsend and Richie Blackmore.
Right.
And
was Pete there from the beginning? Was he in there looking over your shoulder making, you know, suggestions?
Not really. I suppose the suggestions came from a number of the young musicians in those days. That, you see, my favourite amplifier in those days was the Fender Tremolux Amp.
Oh, yes.
Simply because I never had any trouble with it. Hardly any service.
Low maintenance.
But what it was, as I say, it was a very successful amplifier, very reliable, but the sound was too clean.
Oh, right.
It was good for country western or jazz.
Right,
right.
But not for what the boys were starting to play.
So what your brief was to invent something worse.
Absolutely.
Something not as good.
You're probably right.
You've got Pete Townsend standing behind you in the lab coat going, it's too good, make it worse.
They gave me the idea of the sound they wanted because, as I say, the Fender was too clean for what they were playing. And the only way you can produce that is overdriving the valve you're using, whether it be EL34 or anything like that.
So
you produce the harmonics from the valve. And that basically is the secret of the Marshall sound.
You've given it away!
Not really, because there's a few other things that go with it.
There's a few herbs and spices in there that aren't even revealed on the internet at all to this very day. And where's the very first one that you knocked up in the shed? Where's that sitting now?
That's sitting in my museum.
Is it?
Yes.
And is that a big bugger? Is this like all technology? Is the idea to get amps smaller and smaller and smaller? We're going to see someone stage diving off an amp that's like 1 foot by 1 foot one day.
I shouldn't think so, because that amplifier is still the same size, basically, as the 50 watts we produce today.
And when did people really start to take to your machines and say, this is the best one, the top of the range, the one I want to be seen jumping off?
Right from the word go, actually, because I had a retail store.
Whereabouts was that?
That was in Hamwell, London W7.
Right. You used to do some crazy ads for that one, Jim.
Come down to Jim Marshall's amplifier sale. We've got crazy prices.
Well, funnily enough, most of the top groups started in my shop.
Did they really?
Well, it was like a labour exchange because we had all the young up-and-coming musicians who were not welcome in the West End stores of London because the West End stores thought that the jazz musician and the session musician, you know, for big bands, etc., were still the customers.
Right.
But that was the biggest mistake the West End ever made.
So what you're saying is down at the big fancy schmancy stores, there was Pat Boone and Cliff Richard and people. Down at your store, Jimi Hendrix, Keith Richards, and people of that ilk.
That's right.
And what would they do? They'd come in with a guitar and just hook up, play a bit and say, I'll have that one?
And no, they would take the guitar off the wall, which we allowed them to do, which the West End would not let them do, and get together and start playing, and then groups were formed. It was just like that. You know, Richie Blackmore was playing with one of my drum pupils in his school band, and I taught Mitch Mitchell to play with Hendrix, Mickey Waller with Rod Stewart. You see, through the 50s, I did virtually nothing else but teaching.
And so, really, you were Britain's Andy Warhol. Were you strolling around in a sort of, you know, silk pyjamas, you know, kind of...
No, not really.
In the shop?
No, not really.
Do you play the axe yourself, Jim?
No, as I say, I was a singer and drummer.
Well, we don't have any drums here. We can't get to favour us with a solo, I'm afraid. But we would like you to stick around for another break. Could you do that, Jim?
Absolutely.
That'll be next.
The new SAFM difference.
His is the surname you'll see on all your amps when you go along to see a bit of a loud, rowdy rock concert. And, Jim, do you get out to the rock concerts much these days to see how people are treating your equipment?
Not so much as I'd like to do.
Right.
Because I travel worldwide. I do most of the top shows in the world, you know, the music shows. I do dealer support shows in the UK. And I'm over here virtually to do the same thing.
And when was the last time you had a day off, Jim?
That would be 1992.
Oh, really? Well done. You win a prize. And what do you do on your day off, Jim? Listen to records?
No, I usually go down to the bottom of my garden where I have a workshop. And I have all engineering and woodworking tools there.
Okay. And what are you working on now? Because we've got the Marshall amp. That's already in the history books. What are you doing for an encore? What are you sitting on in that shed?
In the shed, nothing, really. But you know, I have a research and development team of 12 people, which is probably the largest in our industry. Four are actual amplifier designers.
Yeah.
So I expected them to come up with the goods every now and again.
Okay.
And they are all musicians.
And what kind of requests do you get? Do you get Eric Clapton calling you up and saying, can you knock us up one of these, Jim? What kind of calls do you get from your big rock name?
No, we get nothing like that. You know, Slash has just done something with us. I've allowed him to put his signature, and this is the first time ever, with my signature on one of our amplifiers.
Mm. Now, what did he bring to the table? What was his suggestion? What made it Slash?
He just wanted to meet me. Which is the reverse, really, to what normally happens.
Do you find, even apart from the artists, you get requests from other people? I mean, how do the roadies, have you built an app that roadies are just going, oh, cut it out, Jim, that's big, don't like that around.
The only time that ever happened was with Pete Townsend. He decided that instead of the 4x12 that I designed, he wanted an 8x12. And I said, well, how do you want it made, Pete? He said, oh, a great big square box with 8 12-inch speakers in. And I said, no, I don't think that would look very presentable as a backdrop. And I said, leave it to me, Pete. I'll build you one. Well, after it being built, one of my workmen and myself tried to carry it out of the factory. It was murder. Anyway, Pete turned up and I said, Pete, you know, the roadies are not going to like this. He said, well, they get paid to do that job. Yep. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, he came back. He said, you're absolutely right, Jim. Cut it in half. I said, well, you can't do that. I'll make you what I wanted to make you in the first place. That was 2 4x12.
And these are the kind of elaborate design conversations and meetings that take place. Cut it in half, Jim.
A lot of times, yes.
And I suppose that was where... Who was the first person to decide, hang on, there's a lot of amps. Let's put them in a stack. Who invented the stack?
I did.
What are you? It's all coming back to you, Jim. Well, that is a great idea and it's very popular, isn't
yes,
it? Is that for effect or is it actually sound better when the amps are stacked?
Oh, it sounds better because at the top you have the angle-fronted cabinet, which projects the sound upwards.
Right.
And it sort of gives a very much wider sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it's so popular. As a matter of fact, for years... We made something like 12,000 4x12s a year. Since 1990, that's grown every year. And this year, we will do about 27,000 of them.
Ooh. Jim, round at your house where you live, do you ever get complaints from the neighbours that you've got the stereo up too loud?
Pardon?
Exactly. Now, Jim, we couldn't let you leave the studio without asking you a question I'm sure everybody asks you. Tell us about your relationship with Spinal Tap guitarist Nigel Tufnell, who, of course, paid the ultimate tribute to you with his amp that goes up to 11.
Well, I was approached by Mike Doyle, who's written the two books about me, because he got friendly with this actor, Christopher Guest, that's his name. And he said, would you mind if they did something that goes up to 11, you see? I said, no, it sounds quite good.
And I understand you've subsequently worked with Christopher or Nigel on an amp that goes up to 20, is that correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you work on an amplifier for my alarm in the morning that goes up to 20? Can you do that? That's what I need, a big Marshall amp stack beside the bed.
Yeah, you want a 100-watt Slash amp.
Oh, hang on, I'm writing that down. Maybe we'll develop some together, we can put my name
absolutely
on that. Out to the shed, the both of you. Well, Jim, we'd like to thank you for coming in and wasting some of your valuable time with us this afternoon.
It's not a waste at all. It's very fruitful.
And
thank you.
Don't forget, people, next time you're at a loud, noisy rock concert, this man's to blame.
Thank you very much.
Bye. And didn't you love... Whenever he started talking technical during that interview, how's the way we pretended we knew what he was saying?
It's the Fender Tremolux.
Oh, yeah.
And produces the harmonics from the valve, of course.
Of course, naturally.
Absolutely. Like I was when you were mentioning the hat in the early segment.
Yes.
It's just the tackle happy.
Yes, I'm very familiar with it.
The tackle happy?
What was it called?
A tabernacle.
What was it?
It's a tam o'shanter.
Well, that's what I said, a tam o'shanter.
What is a tack lamping?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm imagining it. Oh, look, I can't think of anything clean there. So I might give out Jim's dates. Yeah. Jim Marshall is, of course, on tour. And if you've got an old Marshall amp, as many people who are showing up at the station right now have, and you want to get it signed, or you want to meet the man, or you want to pop down and just have a bit of a yak to him, he's in Parramatta tomorrow in New South Wales. Parramatta between 1:30 and 2:30 at the Guitar Factory. He'll be in Hurstville at the Guitar Factory from 4:30 to 5:30 tomorrow. And then on Thursday, he's going to be in Annandale at Downtown Music and Venue Music in the city in Sydney. Then he's off to WA Friday, where he will be the guest of honour at the Cosmic Marshall Guitar Competition. And that's one of Perth's, that's one of the feature events on the calendar over there. And, of course, he's still in Perth, well, at least in Claremont, on Saturday at Zenith and Concept in West Perth. I hope that all makes sense.
Get down and say good day to Jimbo.
And, of course, on Sundays, back home in the shed, tooling something up for Pete Townsend.
Yeah.
A really big hearing aid for Pete Townsend. That was working on. And people, listen to this. We've been following the Sex Pistols, because they're using the stacks themselves, and I think they had a fairly ordinary gig in Finland.
They are stacks.
Exactly.
You seen them?
Oh, yeah.
They had a weigh-in before their concert time.
The roadies have to bring them on one at a time. But the Finland gig didn't go too well, but, you know, fair enough, first one for quite some time. But apparently they've gone off at Finsbury Park in London, some kind of big gig over there. But listen to what they did. The Pistols taunted fans for 30 minutes before they appeared on stage by playing a medley of 70s disco hits over the PA, over the Marshall amps. Mm. And punks who had shelled out a fair bit of cash had to endure songs by Leo Sayer and the Brotherhood of Man before the band's arrival. Now, anything's going to sound good after Leo Sayer.
They've worked that out, haven't they?
I'm showing up to hear just you going to work on a washboard, and if I'm hearing Leo Sayer first, you know, you're basically the maestro Mick Malloy.
What are you saying about my washboard playing? What's your point there? I'm taking umbrage.
You turn it up to 11, but anyway, here's something else that often gets turned up to 11.
It's time to play Beat the Beasley. Here's how it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of Federal Opposition Leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Malloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer 5 questions and beat the Beasley. If you're successful, you'll win a Beasley-proof watch valued at $1,500 from our extremely good friends at Michael Hill Jewelers. Okay, lads, roll out the Beasley.
Today's Beasley, listen to this. What a sensational bit of work we've managed to score from Jim Marshall, inventor of the Marshall amps. Mm. He's created, what is it, Mickey?
It's a Beasley stack.
The first ever. It's the most powerful Beasley yet. Mm. And we're going to drop it onto, well, something tiny and defenseless, namely Alexander Downer. We've got him here in the studio because, of course, you've been reading, no doubt, about Kim Beasley's comments re Mr. Downer. In fact, Mr. Beasley has called Mr. Downer a deceitful, dishonest buffoon. If you'd like to drop a replica of our federal opposition leader onto a deceitful, dishonest buffoon, now is probably the only chance you're going to get. It's simple. You call us up, we run the clock for a minute, you've got to answer 5 questions correctly and effectively beat the Beasley. Call us now, 1-800-657. Don't forget to wear your tackle happy, 657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Hate to say them. If I had my way, I'd round them all up, put them in the army. But they wouldn't be much bloody good. At least they'd get a haircut and a wash, though.
Brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Yes, here at Martin Malloy, it's time once again to beat the Beasley. Here's what we've done. We've got Alexander Downer. We've tied him up in the corner and suspended over him, or at least in a few moments, once we get the crane happening, will be a scary lifelike likeness. Is that a word? Lifelike likeness? Can we get away with that?
You'll probably get by if you don't draw attention to it.
A lifelike likeness of one Kim Beazley, of course, the mortal enemy of Alexander Downer, the man he describes as a deceitful, dishonest buffoon.
Ooh.
So what stands between Beazley and Downer? Well, it's going to be a series of trivia questions. Who's going to be tackling them? Mickey!
Well, we're going to give a young girl named Kylie a shot. Hello, Kylie.
Hello.
How are you?
Not too bad.
There you go. Well, you're in with the shot. You ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Did you know the rules?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
So you heard it yesterday, Kylie?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Well, you've got to do better than that, I'm afraid. And we're just going to... You're not nervous at all?
Oh, that's a little bit.
Oh, well, it could be fun if you don't get it, though. You'll get to hear Alexander Downer being crushed by an enormous object.
Do I get the Brown album?
You will get the Brown album, but I don't know...
If it's not crushed in the melee.
Exactly.
Or crushed.
Or crushed. We just can't put two words together today, Kylie, so the pressure's on you to be coherent. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
We're just going to winch the Beazley into position, and the questions are going to be coming thick and fast once Gracie fires the gun, which has, of course, been... approved by the new government semi-automatic. Oh, we're off! And who is Alexander Downer?
He's the, the Minister for Something.
The Minister for Something? I think that's correct! Yes, indeed!
Who is Demi Moore married to?
He's in the movies.
Yeah, I know, he's in the movie, Demi Moore, and Bruce Willis.
Yes, indeed. Who has more hair, Bruce or Demi?
Bruce at the moment.
Yes, indeed.
Name one of Con the Fruiterer's catchphrases.
No, it's not g'day, mate. no, I can't think of any at the moment.
Oh, okay, we'll move on then. And I'll ask you, comedy duo Russell Hitchcock and Graham Russell are better known as...
Wouldn't have a clue.
Oh, it's Air Supply, I'm afraid.
Name two Paxton kids.
That's Shane and...
Oh, no!
the girl.
You better get it out.
Star relations with China through your rat behaviour.
Oh, dear. You know what? The Beazley came down as she was trying to get out the word... Bindi.
And I'm afraid the Minister for Something is splattered all over the studio. How many answers did she get correct there, Emma?
Sort of three.
Sort of three.
Sort of three.
Well, the news is you have, in fact, got the Brown album, Kylie.
Oh, that's good.
And, of course, you've also...
There's a T-shirt in there, too.
Yeah, there is a T-shirt, a very fashionable-looking Martin Molloy T-shirt coming your way. Thanks for playing Beat the Beazley,
okay,
Kylie.
Thank you for that.
And we'll crank it up once again tomorrow. A brand new Beazley.
Beautiful!
Did you remember if I win anything? Nothing here at Martin Molloy. Wrap me up. That's Alex Party here at Martin Molloy, where we'll put Beat the Beazley behind us, I think. And tell you what, it's time for a very brief celebrity medical emergency. Yes, listen to this. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have read this week's Who magazine and heard about this story. Assault lands Jeremy Sims in hospital. Now, Australian actor Jeremy Sims, probably best known for his work on steamy TV Fleshfest Chances, screened on Channel 9 a couple of years back now. In fact, wasn't he known as the Buttocks?
Yeah.
From that show for his continual pants-free shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But his ass became so well known. I understand he still uses a freeze frame of it on his passport and driver's license. But anyway, according to this article, a couple of Fridays back, the Buttocks was in attendance at an Optus Vision launch at the Metro in Sydney. A few hours later, he was flat out buttocks down in St. Vincent's Hospital with a number of facial injuries. What happened? Well, that's still unclear. But it seems that somewhere in between, Sims has dropped into the Good Bar in Sydney's Oxford Street, where he met one of the, quote, six bosomy dancers currently touring Australia under the name Big Top Beauties. Now, have you seen the Big Top Beauties work, Mickey?
The buttocks meets the breasts.
Exactly. They're basically the new look Danny Minogue to the Power of Six. Anyway, the buttocks has offered to walk one of the Big Tops back to her King's Cross Hotel.
As you would.
Because, quote, King's Cross is a dangerous place at 4 in the morning. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
But But on the way, they've stopped at another night spot. The Big Top Beauty has popped into the ladies. And at this point, Sim says he was punched without provocation. Now, you know, I'm sure if the woman hadn't been in the toilets, this incident wouldn't have happened. You know, it would have been a different story. I wouldn't mess with none of those Big Top Beauties, Mickey. They could beat you up, beat your senseless hands free, just a bit of the boogity, 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 and you'd be down on the floor. But unfortunately, she wasn't there, and Sims has woken up in hospital with facial cuts and a broken cheekbone. A representative for the actor says the injuries will not affect filming on Sims' new miniseries, as the cheekbone in question was on his face.
For all those times you stood by me,
that must be Celine Dion telling us, because you loved me, here at Martin Malloy.
Hi, Pete Smith here. Do you want to be trim, taut and terrific like yours truly? If so, then you need the Pete Smith Tummy Trimmer. Forget all that other home fitness equipment endorsed by duds like Linda Evangelista. This is the baby for you. Only the Pete Smith Tummy Trimmer takes all the hard work and pain out of firming and flattening the muscles in the old tum-tum. Don't believe me? Check this out, girls. Later, chickadees. Ruff. To demonstrate the new Pete Smith Tummy Trimmer, I tried to enlist the help of an old showbiz buddy some might consider a tad portly in the tummy department, but he didn't want a bar of it. So instead, here's a bloke who looks a lot like Ernie Sigley.
G'day.
Just strap the titanium frame to the body harness, adjust the padded headrest, check the rear vision mirror, obey the no smoking signs, and observe a minute's silence. When that's done, fire the sucker up, and in just a few short minutes, you'll be a shadow of your former self. Okay, buddy, let her rip.
Well, how does that feel?
Get it off me, Josh! Get it off me! Get it off!
Oh, no, not again. Somebody put him out while I call the jaws of life. Let me know when you find the black box recorder. The Pete Smith Tummy Trimmer is all you need to take off that unwanted flab and tone the abdominal muscles. Once you've used it, you'll never have to put up with the boorish antics of nasty bullies ever again.
Hey, Smith, you're in my car park again. Give me one reason why I shouldn't come over there and kick you in the backside.
Oh, Mick, I'm so sorry. Here, let me make it up to you by allowing you a free punch in the tummy.
Don't mind if I do.
Sorry, Mick. Thanks to the Pete Smith Tummy Trimmer, you're going to have to go and find some other bony-ass 10-pound weakling to push around.
Hey, Mick, you parked in my spot. Mind moving? Oh, what did you do that for?
So go on, do your body a favor and get the new Pete Smith Tummy Trimmer. Trust me, people, before long, your tummy will be so hard and flat, you'll be able to eat your dinner off it. Right, guys?
Can you pass the salt, Tone? Sure, Mick. More wine?
Oh, please.
Oh, that tickles. Hey, watch my belly button.
Can you pass the ashtray, Tone?
There you go. Thank you.
Something for the pain. That's Bon Jovi pretty much wrapping up today's Martin Malloy. And just before we go, we haven't mentioned the Pope. Have you seen any footage of the Pope's visit to Germany, Mickey?
Yeah, I did.
He was, hundreds of demonstrators spat venom at the Pontiff as he cruised by in the Pope mobile. The Pope mobile was splattered with paint bombs. He was told to get lost, and a naked woman was hauled away by the police. It's all part of the Pope's wacky, filthy Luca tour. And the problem is, he said he's just doing it for the money. Nobody's impressed with the new haircut. And, and the Pope mobile, actually, he had to pull over to the side of the road, apparently, and he had to get into another vehicle. I understand it was one of the local radio stations, Black Thunders. And he completed the tour in that, and it all went, you know, he had to stop every 100 metres to give away copies of the new Hootie and the Blowfish. But apart from that, it went smoothly.
He's just turfing them out the back window, mate.
And speaking of naked women and streakers, what's the story? You don't hear much about streaking as an art form as much as you used to when I was a kid. But
it's all happening, Tone. Bookies are taking bets on a streaker at the men's or women's finals at Wimbledon.
Oh, really?
Because it's never happened before. Not a Wimbledon.
There's never been a streaker at Wimbledon.
Never been a streaker. It's a shame, really, isn't it? Odds at this stage are better than each way, with a male streaker at 6-1, a female streaker at 8-1, and Frankie J. Holden at 5-4 on.
Really?
Yeah, that's the hot tip. That's where all the smart money is. I was actually at a tennis tournament once, Tone, where a bloke went for a bit of a streak.
Yeah.
It wasn't very pleasant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, he was manhandled by a confused ball boy. No, it can happen. Okay. He didn't know.
Okay.
The players got in on the act too, Tone.
Really?
Oh, I better stop.
No, you're not stopping
now. No, I will.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm chicken there.
Oh, okay. Well, we must thank our guests.
I had something there about totem tennis. And I've bailed on it. I've seen the looks of you and Gracie, and I've realised I'm in that, you know, too far basket.
Would it sound any better coming through a Marshall amp?
Yeah, it'd be clean as a whistle through a Marshall amp.
Well, we must thank our guest, Jim Marshall, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow, Paul Hester's on board, so that'll be a much classier program. Mm. And that'll be tomorrow. And until then, remember, people, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production.